Thank you, Brother Tommy. If you have your Bibles, take them open up to the Old Testament, to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings in chapter 22. I mentioned a while ago that the fact about how our leaders influence not just in the government aspect of our nation or state or communities, but how we have godly leaders, it influences all of the population. More especially, I believe, in our nation, because we are a nation that was set up where you and I, by the wisdom of the God to our forefathers, set up for us to be able to govern ourselves by choosing our leaders and having that freedom rather than being someone who is anointed to be the king or the boss or things of that nature. But with that, with any freedom, comes a great responsibility. And that responsibility lies with me and you. We are the voters. And I think truly any servant that is elected, we're fortunate to have justice of the peace, a commissioner here, and different ones on school boards and different things. They'll be the first to tell you that it is us, the voters, that they have to look at it, their constituents, by what they want, for they are to represent us. Oftentimes we give them a hard rap. Politicians kind of like the weatherman. He's the only one that lies and keeps his job, right? So, and the worst thing of it is we, like dumb sheep, keep going back to them and checking what they're going to say next. So, it's the blind leading the blind sometimes. But in all honesty, it is important. And it's not just in government. It is in our households that we have to have godly men, godly women leading our households to lead that next generation. We've made a lot of comments about the young man here, and he's a joy to have. But folks, that's the next generation. That's who we have to influence. You and I are too old. Our prime's done gone. And I hate to break that news to some of you, but we're on the short end of the stick. And I say we because I'm including that. Some of us are graced that be here another 99 years, But it's so important. And as it comes this time, a lot of thought is, and Tommy and I were talking about this morning, and you all can remember this, of what times were in the past. You didn't worry about locking your house. You hung a 22 or a 30-30 or a shotgun in the back window of your pickup. The windows were down. You walked and went to the store, went to school, whatever you did. You didn't worry about it because everybody had one. Nobody's interested in stealing one. But it's not that way anymore. We used to be able to have a handshake in business. A man gave his word. It was done. We didn't need 1,400 pages of contract to tell him he had to own up to what he said he would do. And people were known by their reputation. Unfortunately, that's not what we see today. We even laughed at the fact not only we didn't lock our houses, we didn't have no bars or anything else around them, did we, Tommy? The only bars you saw was that down at the Hooskow. It wasn't at your own house. You weren't jailed in. And didn't have Big Brother or any other video cameras always watching everything you did. But times have changed. And so God's Word tells us. But I want to look this morning, because you and I, sometimes in the midst of all of the noise going on around us, do not realize there's two things that can influence an entire community, a state, or a nation. And that is one person willing to be obedient to God's statutes and to follow those. The second is God's Word. You know, a lot of times, oh, I go to church. Well, how often do you read your Bible? And we think, well, I pray every day. How often do you read your Bible? And we go on, how often do you read God's Word? Folks, I'm more and more convinced in my own personal life that reading His Word is just as what we've been given the analogy since I was about His age, that the fact that God's Word is the bread of life to me and you. It's the nourishment. We, above all people, understand if we don't get rains, doesn't matter how much we irrigate, we don't get rains, the land don't flourish. Well, the rain in mine in your life is right here. It is this book that nourishes us and feeds us. Yes, prayer is important. Communion with our Lord, talking with Him every day is important. But this is where I find, more than not, it is where the Holy Spirit draws that out. You know, for some of us that are kind of mule bent, we're a little stubborn and fail to see, where He slaps you upside the head and says, right there, see, here's the consequence, and here's what can happen in the good nature if you follow the Word. And there is not a single thing that has taken place in our world today that was not recorded in this book. 2 Kings chapter 22. The title of the message is A Revival or Judgment? And that's a reality that you and I have to look at. And again, I commend those of our representatives that follow the statute and try to be able to keep God's Word as a forefront of how they conduct their business or their courtroom, whatever it may, or the officers that deal with it on the street. It is vital that those things take place. It is vital for you and I to do the same in business or teaching or whatever we may do. Even if you're retired, you influence people around you. You show whether or not you follow God's statutes in your life and how important that is. We talk about politicians being the representatives, our representatives of government. If you're born again and you know Jesus Christ, the book says that we are ambassadors. That's representatives. But guess who we're representing? It ain't the people. It's our Lord and our Savior. No greater honor can we have than to do that, but no greater responsibility that we have. And so here in the 22nd chapter of Kings, we'll do it a little different this morning. I'm not going to have you stand for the scripture. I'm going to try to paraphrase a lot of this and give you the synopsis of what's coming, and then we'll look at certain parts of scripture. Here, this is at the time after Babylon. They've come back from Babylon, and Judah and Israel are separated. They are two different nations, if you will. They're all of the Jewish population, but they've been split. We can identify that in our own country as the North and the South. You know, we see that some, they're all still part of the United States, but they separated for a little bit. Josiah is the king. Now, Josiah, prior to him, the kings they had did not follow. If you read beforehand and you look at what's taking place, the past kings and all led the people. And it does matter who our leader is, because their nations that they were led were not under godly kings or those who proclaimed God's statutes and showed that from the top down. We always filter that. That is why God placed Himself and He sent Jesus to be our example. And you think about it in our own lives. We imitate at work, at home, at school, wherever it is, we imitate those who are above us. Even though we may not agree with them, we'll imitate them. Okay? Your nation is led in one direction. Even if the people disagree, that whole nation moves that way, and we find ourselves compromising and going in that direction to a certain degree. There will be a certain degree we put our foot down and say, no, we're not doing that, and we get a different leader. Or even the way the world is going today, there are those of us, and I include you and myself as well, that we don't follow the statutes of the world. We follow God's statutes, and we're very similar to John the Baptist. We are out in the wilderness by ourselves, and the world scorns us. The world looks at us as though we have three eyeballs and four hands, and, you know, they wonder where you come from. My brother wore the right shirt because that's how the world looks at Christianity. Stand up there one more time. We'll let you show that off. Now, what y'all couldn't see a while ago is that young man back there was so dazzled by it, he followed him all the way across the room. Mama had to bring him back. Get away from that thing. But he was, you could tell he was focused on all those colors and those eyes and everything. So, good job. You know, usually it's Donnie that wears that. He's not quite filling up to perfection yet. He's still a little sick, but he'll join you next week without a doubt. But all of the kings before, all of the kings before Josiah had not followed the word of God. Matter of fact, as you read this chapter, you're going to find out that they didn't even realize where the word of God was. The scripture here, we'll talk about it in a minute, says that they found the book of the law. And you think about everything in the Jewish traditions and religion, how could they not have known where the law was? You ever gone to some people's house and ask them if they have a Bible, and they go, oh yeah, around here somewhere, I don't know where it's at. Not much difference, huh? And they were surprised when they found it. Looky here, what I found. And so what you find here as they go through there, that in verse 4, it says, or excuse me, verse 3, it says, now came to pass, well, let me back up a second before I get that far. Josiah, when he was anointed king, was 8 years old. How many of y'all feel like you had wisdom enough to run a nation when you were 8 years old? Ice cream and lollipops and, yeah, we're going to have some fun. And we know that Solomon was a young age and God gave him the wisdom. God also gave some wisdom to Josiah. And he was the first king in a long stretch of kings that we see that actually was a godly king. And the power of what one man can do when he serves God. So he was 8 years old. Verse 3 in 2 Kings chapter 22. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of Josiah, of King Josiah. So the 18th year, 10 years after he has been the king. He's 18 years old. That the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, and the son of Azali, and the son of Meshelah, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And it's going to tell you that the temple was in disarray and needed repair. And you had carpenters and masons and all these different workers there that were working, and they needed more material. And what he tells the scribe to do is take that money and give it to the workers that they continue to rebuild. They can have, and he says, give it to them because they've been faithfully in verse 7, but they continue to rebuild God's house. Verse 8, then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave that book to Shaphan, and he read it. Wow. This is the priest and the scribes. It is the leaders. One, the scribe who has the ear of the king. And they just found the book and just began to read it. So Shaphan in 9 went to the scribe. Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. He said, "Yeah, boss." He said, "While we was out there, he found this book down there in the rubble where they're doing all the repairs. And he said, I want to read you a little bit out of it. I want to read you this book he found." The book he found is the living word of God. No different than ours today. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law. Now we change from being just a book to a book of the law, of God's word. He says, when he heard the book, words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. He realized upon that hearing the words of the book of the law that everything was wrong. They'd been doing it all wrong. That they were in conflict with what God's word said. That shows me the power of this book. Many of you have experienced that. Whatever situation you've been in or whatever problem you're having, you happen to be reading your Bible and God leads you, the Holy Spirit leads you to a certain verse. And I know that some of y'all have done that because I have. And you flop it open and go, "Yeah, I'm going to read." Well, that wasn't where I was at, but something about it made my eyes look down and read those verses, and it's like, wow, thank you, Lord, because that's exactly what I needed to hear today in making a decision, or what I needed to do. Am I the only one that ever happens to? No, I see heads starting to move. No, it happens, right? And it's not by chance, it's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that leads our eyes to read that. And so Josiah suddenly sees that, and he tells them to go and inquire of the Lord in 13. He says, "Go inquire of the Lord for the people, for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book to do according to all that is written concerning us." The mess our world in today, it didn't get this way overnight. It's been a progression. And it is continuing to progress even worse. Mike, I always remember Mary Jane saying, "It's circling the drain." And that's what our world is doing, circling the drain. To go out, be cast into a septic system. Or for you city slickers, the sewer system. Okay? It circles. You ever done that? With water, cut it loose, and you watch that water circle. That little whirlpool begins to spin. And I thought about that analogy, and I thought, you know, how true that is. When we look at our world, is that just like that water begins to circle, that's what happens with the world. We begin to circle in the chaos until finally it goes completely down the drain and is no more. That's in all parts of our lives. Relationships and family, things in business, at schools. I mean, every time, you know, today you hear about what is being taught or not being taught in schools. It amazes me. I told my wife today, I was doing some catching up with some work and everything for work and the computer and home and other things involved in. And Patton, the movie Patton, came on. And I took note of it, and they had several others, and it reflected over and over again with this message about where we are at and what we need in order for it to change. But Patton had slapped the coward there in the hospital and all, and everybody was appalled that he would do that and be upset and all like that. And his aide comes and he says, well, I took a private poll, and he says, all the letters that are coming in to you, 89% of them are praising you and thanking you for everything that you're doing, but 11%. He said, 11%. And he said, they're not even, he said, one, they're vulgar and obscene, and they're not even worth reading. And I thought to myself, in that day and age, they're vulgar and not even worth reading, and yet we blast it all over the internet for every age to read, right? What a change. What a change that 89% were in support, and that was in the midst of World War II, of defeating the axis of evil, and yet 11% said, no, it's okay. The problem today, that has totally flipped. I mean, you think about it. People in our nation would support and applaud those people of Palestine who did what they did a year ago to the Jewish people. And we watched it on live TV and recordings. We went to a world war over the same atrocities and defeated evil, and yet now we have people in our own nation who support it and defend it as being their right. It's not a political message. It's just as the word tells us, we fight powers and principalities, not of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is just the physical example of the powers and principalities at war. And they are always at war, and they'll continue to be at war. But Josiah here hears those words, which was common in their practice. He tears off his clothes, he rents them, because he's so upset. And he says, go out and inquire of the Lord, which was the way in which things were done at that period, that the king would have the priest, the high priest in them, inquire of the Lord what should be done. And so as you go on down here, what happens is he realizes that their nation is fixed to be under God's judgment. It's what we read in 13, that it's coming. They've already been in judgment by Babylon, and God gave them mercy to go back to their lands, and yet he sees it coming. There is going to be more judgment and the anger of the Lord that is there. I'm always amazed to hear that there are pastors today that will not and do not teach nor preach out of the book of Revelation. Their comment has been, well, it'll scare people. You know, the irony of it is we'll take our driving, and unfortunately we talked about a fatality accident, or someone lost their life. But in that stretch, we saw the paint marks this morning when we come through, didn't realize who that was or where it was, but it's in the midst of a curve as you come through there. And yet there are signs there, speed limit signs and curve signs and arrows that show you it's going to turn, and all of these warning devices that, you know, we're trying, but the foolishness of man, you cannot give somebody common sense how to drive, right? But an accident occurs. And all of the things that God lays out for us from His Word of what happens when you have a nation that does not follow the statutes, when you have a nation of leaders that don't lead their people in godly ways, all decisions have consequences. And the consequences are you have all of this chaos and evil abounds within your world. Can't make it up. Don't believe me? Watch the news. It's the things you see every single day or read about. All the whys of what would make somebody go shoot up a bunch of kids at a school. You can look for everything you want, but the bottom line, you know, we do a root cause when we have an accident in the utility world with power. You get down to the root cause. What was the single start of this whole event? And the root cause of our problem today is E-V-I-L. Evil. S-I-N. Bible talked about how the perfection of the garden is until sin entered in. And God even said, no longer will you enjoy the pleasures of the earth. Now you will have to toil by the sweat of your brow to get your food. And it goes into this whole long thing that's going to happen. Heck, Adam and Eve didn't even have no clothes on until that happened. Now, I want to see y'all run out here naked in the middle of this bush in the hill country and tell me you don't get all scarred up and scratched up. You realize there wasn't even thorns back then? The snake was a friend. That's where the curse came. The snake would bite us and man would bruise his head. Sure been a whole lot of evil since then. And it didn't take long to circle in the drain when you read Genesis, because the next big sin that came wasn't just disobeying God, but then we had somebody kill somebody else. And it's been circling ever since. So Josiah sees this, and he has him to go to the priest, and he gathers all of the people together as we go down here. In verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." That's why I like that Old Testament. Ain't no doubt about who's speaking. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on the inhabitants, all of the words of the book which the king of Josiah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all of the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched." But, behold the underlying truth. That's what "but" means. When everybody tells you, well, no, it really wasn't that way. But, I didn't do that. But, the "but" is behold the underlying truth. We get to the root cause. Verse 18. "But for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, they would become a desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord." What a praise, right? And he hears me and you. He hears our prayers. He says, "Surely," he continues, "therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all of the calamity which I will bring upon this place." And so they brought back the word to the king. You see, as born again, knowing Jesus Christ personally, Revelation does teach us about the calamity, the chaos that will transpire in the very last days. And Jesus spoke of this even in his day. And we progressively seeing the world circling that drain, that evil is growing and we're circling faster and faster. You know, the more you turn the water on that drain, the faster that water begins to circle. Matter of fact, if you let it pool up enough, you'll even see the little cone as it's doing the circling. When you keep pouring more and more in there. The book of Revelation says there is a day of judgment coming. But it also makes a promise to me and you who have trusted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we'll be removed. He calls it the rapture before all the calamity. What a merciful God. So I applaud, as we started out, our leaders in this room. And there is not, they're just the leader of the local governments and judicial system, but there's leaders all across this room, or you wouldn't be here. You see, one man, Josiah, one priest who found the book, who read it to the scribe, who took it to the Lord. Each one of this, it starts growing. Then Josiah, as you continue reading in here, stood before the people and read from the book. He's influenced by God, but one man had enough gumption, enough backbone to take and made sure it got into the hands of the leader. And one leader was willing to be obedient to God's word and change the nation for all of his lifetime. We talk about 2 Chronicles and praying, and God says, when my people humble themselves and confess their sins, I will hear. We saw the same thing here. And I'm convinced it is no different today. When one leader is willing to step up and that community hears it and follows those words, and from there up to a state and from there up to an entire nation, that nation will thrive. Judgment will still come for all past deeds. But you and I have the opportunity to have God's mercy and grace. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us that mercy and grace. If we believe in him and accept him, we won't go through the calamity at the very end. He'll rapture you and I out. And if he doesn't rapture us out and we're obedient, we, like Josiah, he promises we'll live in peace when we go sleep with our fathers. And we actually aren't asleep because we are wide awake in the presence of our true Father. Every decision has a choice. We can live in a nation and a community or a state of revival, that state being even in our own personal families and lives, or one of judgment. You're the chooser. We all make mistakes, but our decisions have consequences, good or bad. But if we're willing to follow and willing to relinquish ourselves, our desires, for what God gives us, there is life. That's why it says he is life, he is love. There's life when we follow his word. And not just existence, but as Jesus tells us in John, we have abundant life. Meaning blessings beyond what we can comprehend. But that's our choice. Don't ever think that your one testimony cannot ignite the same as what we see here. The power in God's word, the power in one man's obedience, or one woman's obedience, whatever it may be in the situation, to God's statutes, influences throughout. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.